Morning. Hey, Eric, could you go ahead and shut those back doors and lock them? We're going to keep them in. You know, I heard a story on the internet, so it must be true. But there's this Christian worker who is ministering in a Muslim country. And one day she was driving to a location, and unfortunately she ran out of gas. And she didn't have a gas can. So as a container, she used the only thing that she had in her car, a bedpan. So she walks to the gas station, gets some gas in the bedpan, and then she gets back to the car, and she's pouring gas from the bedpan into the car, and another car pulls up, and the window rolls down, and there's this, I think it's a Muslim cleric or something, in the other car. And the guy sticks his head out of the window and says, "You know, we may be of different religions, but I really admire your faith." If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to talk a little bit about faith today. Matthew 14, we're going to be looking at starting with verse 22. Let me give you some background on this story. Jesus just gets word that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. And I can imagine that some of Jesus' disciples at one time were also followers of John the Baptist. And consequently, they want to go to a secluded area to grieve, just to spend some time alone. Instead, a crowd follows them. So this crowd follows them to this secluded area, and Jesus, being the Son of God, the kind of person he is, has compassion on this crowd. So he heals their sick. And as evening is approaching, the disciples want to send this crowd away to get food in the surrounding villages because they haven't eaten. And Jesus, of course, says, "You give them something to eat." And that leads to the feeding of the 5,000 with a couple fish and five loaves. And then we get to verse 22. We'll pick up the story there. I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side," they're on a lake, "while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It is a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me!' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Father God, as we enter into your word, Lord God, I just pray that you use me by your Spirit just to impart to your people what you would have them hear today, Lord God. I just pray that all of our hearts would be ready and open to receive an impartation from your Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's picture this. Let's get into the boat with the disciples, shall we? Let's all just get into the boat. You got to picture this. You got to get a feel for what's going on. So Jesus sends his disciples away. They get on the boat. They're struggling with the wind. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they've been rowing, and they're struggling against the wind, and the waves are contrary to them. And off in the distance, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, so it's really dark. But maybe there's just enough starlight, maybe there's a little bit of moonlight, just enough to be able to see something's coming toward them. And it looks like a man. And I don't know what their theology was, but they thought it was a ghost. And as it drew near, Jesus, obviously knowing that they are a little bit disconcerned or whatever, says, "It is I, don't be afraid." And Peter, being the impulsive one, says, "If it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water." And he does. Jesus says to him, and this is a very important part here. Jesus says to him, "Come." And he steps out of the boat and onto the water and starts walking over to Jesus. Now, you're in the boat right now with the other disciples. What are you thinking? What are you thinking right now? You know, I imagine some of the disciples now, you know, from Scripture, I can get a picture that maybe the disciples didn't always all get along. All right? So some of the disciples, I can imagine, are thinking, "I wish I had done that." And I'm sure some of the disciples are sitting there thinking, "I wonder what's going to happen next." And I'm sure there's a few disciples also that are praying that he sinks. But he's walking on the water to Jesus. And now, let's get a picture for Jesus. What really blesses Jesus' heart? When you think about, when you read the Scriptures, think about what really blesses Jesus' heart. That's the title of this message. He said, "Come," and here comes Peter walking on the water to him. Can you imagine the excitement Jesus had? Hallelujah, one of them's getting it. One of them's getting it. Here he comes. One of them's getting it. And then all of a sudden, Peter starts looking around, seeing the wind, and he gets afraid, and he starts sinking. And Jesus grabs onto him as he cries out and says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" But you know something? He didn't say no faith. He said little faith. And Peter did walk on the water. So we're in the boat, people. And I want to ask you this morning, what's it going to take to get you out of the boat? What's it going to take for you to take a step of faith? Think about that. You know what blesses the heart of Jesus? It's faith. A matter of fact, the Scripture uses a very interesting word. It says that Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. You know what marveled means? It means he was amazed. It means it struck him. Wow, this is amazing. And you know when it talks about Jesus marveling, there's two reasons it says in Scripture why Jesus marveled. One is an exercise of faith. You remember the story of the Roman centurion? Comes to Jesus, says, "My servant is sick. Can you come heal him?" Jesus says, "I'll come." The Roman centurion says, "You don't need to come. Just say the word. Just say the word and it'll be done." And Jesus marveled at his faith. This is a Roman. This is a Gentile. This isn't even a son of Abraham. And look at his faith. Wow, this is Jesus, God in the flesh. You know, he's omniscient. I mean, he's all-knowing. And yet, wow, he was amazed at this guy's faith. And you know, Jesus also marveled at unbelief. One time he was at his hometown, Nazareth. He went to the synagogue. He was preaching. And they're all uptight over, is this the carpenter's son? His brothers and sisters live with us. Who does he think he is? And he couldn't heal many people there. And it says in Mark 6:6, he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went among the villages teaching. He marveled at their unbelief. I imagine everyone's faith is probably somewhere in between the two. Maybe you're not quite up to the Roman centurion faith, but maybe you're doing a little bit better than the city of Nazareth. I want to encourage everyone in this room to take it up a notch. To take it up a notch. And I want to look at a few areas here. The first thing I want is, before we get in the actual areas, I want to tell you that your faith can increase. Your faith can increase. As a matter of fact, one time the apostles were trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. And they said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea and it would obey you. You know what that says to me? It doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. And your faith can grow. My faith can grow. So join with me as I endeavor to lead us out of the boat. Hang on to your hats. Here we go. All right. The first area that we can stretch our faith. These are areas where the Lord has already said, come. The Lord has said, come to us. Because that's very important. We're just not launching out on our own. Anyone here saw that videotape where the guy, you know, read in scripture about Jesus walking on water and you see him walking off the dock and then you see the splash? All right, evidently Jesus didn't bid him to come walk, okay? But there's some areas he's bidding us to come. And the first area is salvation. And I want to address this because there may be somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never taken that step of faith. And it says in Romans 10:8-9, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, I hear talks about faith for miraculous things. I hear you talk to Bill Powell about healing sometime. He will bless your socks off. But the most amazing step of faith is when that sinner takes a step into the kingdom of heaven and receives the offer of Jesus Christ's death on the cross for payment for their sin. You don't get no certificate, you know. You don't get no diploma. But boy, oh boy, there's a party going on for you in heaven. And you got eternity just waiting for you. Up there in heaven. You know, I don't know what your pay is, but the retirement plan is out of this world. And I want to encourage anybody here today that's never made that step. Make that step, and you will be like that caterpillar. I hate caterpillars. Just seeing it eat that leaf. There just seems like something wrong. I mean, I'm trying to grow this plant, and it's eating my leaves. But boy, that's a beautiful butterfly. See all those butterflies in those trees? Wow. Beechwood Gardens, they have some kind of butterfly house, don't they? Amazing. The colors, the uniqueness. And you know, that could be anyone here in this room today that hasn't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you to get out of the boat and take that step of faith. Because Jesus is bidding you to come. It says in Revelation that he stands at the door knocking. He's knocking, and maybe he's knocking at your heart today. Second area is faith in prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, it talks about this parable, and it says, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. All right, let me stop here right now. I believe there's people in this room here today that have been praying and have lost heart. So I want you to perk your ears up and listen to this story. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city that kept coming to him saying, Give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to elect, to his elect who cry out to him night and day? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? I was at Men's Challenge, I think it was Thursday morning, and Lonnie Trevino was talking a little bit about prayer. And I liked how he unpacked this. He says, you know, there's really three answers when we pray. There's a yes answer, there's a wait, when the Lord says wait. And then he said, and then there's the answer, I got a better plan. I like that. Yeah, God may say no, but he's got a better plan. How many here are glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers? Yeah, my kids may look a little differently. I'll let you figure that one out. Boy, am I glad he didn't answer some of my prayers. And you know, I think one of our biggest problems as Christians today is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. You know, my spell check wouldn't let me use that word, but I can do it from the pulpit. Prayerlessness. Hey, you know what? Exercise your faith in prayer. Take a step, even a baby step. Maybe there's, you know, I know my wife likes to keep a prayer journal and write things down. Just jot some notes down when you pray of what you prayed about. And in a month or two, see what God's answering. Maybe some of them take time, but some of them may happen immediately. And then when they happen, give God glory. Give God glory. You heard some answered prayer here today in the testimony time. Give God glory for answered prayer. The third area is faith in giving. Faith in giving. Jesus was sitting opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. We happen to have offering boxes here back wall here. I just noticed that. Many rich people put in large sums. I don't see that happening too much here. Oh, many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put more in than those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put everything she had and all she had to live in. You know, Jesus loves that sacrificial giving. Jesus loves that act of faith, where people are willing to extend themselves. You know, it's not the big sums or the number of zeros behind the dollar sign. It's the heart that Jesus loves. And you know something? I'm always blessed by this church because we have such a great tradition of giving as a church. You know, we've sent teams to Guatemala. We've sent teams to Dominican Republic. We've sent teams out to Mississippi when there was a hurricane. And I love the heart of this church. I love the heart of this people. But I have to believe that there are some of you here today that God is nudging you to maybe step it up a notch. Maybe God's wanting you to enter into the concept called tithing. Very simple. You get a paycheck, you take the zero, you move the decimal place to the left, and that's what you give to God. And you watch God bless you. A matter of fact, in Malachi 3 verse 10, it says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. In my house, we don't have a storehouse, we have a pantry. So we could say that, give the full tithe into the pantry. Where's the pantry? It's where you receive food, right? So when I want to eat, I go to my pantry. I don't go to my neighbor's pantry. My neighbor has some guns. I don't think I want to go over there for anything. I go to my pantry. So your tithe should be where you get fed. Your tithe should be here. That there be food in the house. And thereby put me to the test. Put me to the test. Do you hear what God's saying there? I don't know any other scripture where God asks us to put him to the test. And put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Try it. I'll tell you something. My wife, she left. She must not have liked the message. There she is. Hi, honey. She's going to get me when we get home. My wife and I have lived in plenty. We've also lived through some tough times, and we've also lived in sort of in the middle, like what we're living in right now. But there were times where we were really struggling. And, you know, I had been laid off from my job, and unemployment wasn't very much. And we still tithed. And you know something? It was an interesting thing. I did the books, and I figured we were going to be $200 a month in the hole. And every month, it was like amazing how God provided that $200. Somehow, it still came in. Somehow it still came in. One time it was somebody, two different people just gave us checks for $100 each. One time I remember somebody called and wanted me to switch my phone carrier, and they're going to give me $80. And I said, Jehovah Jireh, I'll take your $80. Fourth area is faith for provision. In Matthew 16, 6 through 10, Jesus said, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they, the disciples, began discussing among themselves, saying, we bought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? And how many baskets you gathered? You know, these guys have seen some amazing things. And still sometimes they struggled in areas. They were there when they watched 5 loaves and 2 fish multiplied to feed 5,000. They were there when 7 loaves were multiplied to feed 4,000. And yet they were worried because they forgot the bread. Can you imagine? And it's just like us. You know, we seem to have faith in some areas and some we don't. But I've never seen a Christian without food or shelter or clothing. I think God takes care of us. Another area is faith for healing. Bill, you knew I was going to get to this one. Matthew 9, verse 27 says this, and Jesus passed on from there, and 2 blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? That's quite a question, isn't it? You ever try that with people, Bill? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. Good luck with that. But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. You know, I heard a story about a guy from the West Coast. His name was John Wimber. And he started a movement of churches. And one of the things in the movement that they were doing was they were praying for sick people. They were praying for healing. And he said something very interesting. He said, you know, we used to never pray for healing. And we never saw anybody got healed. Imagine that. And he says, you know, now we pray for healing all the time. And we see some people getting healed. And, you know, we get people come forward here at the end of the service. And we do see healings. We do see healings. And we'll take time with you. We'll pray with you. I remember one time a young man came forward for prayer at the end of the service. And He knelt down and he told me, he was really, really worried. He said, look, I've got something going on in the back of my head. I got headaches. I feel these knobs back there. And I went to see a doctor and he sent me up to Cleveland Clinic to get x-rays and an MRI. And I'm going up tomorrow. And he said, could you pray for me for healing? And I said, absolutely. And I prayed for him for healing. And this is what, you know, sometimes God does things in interesting ways. But as soon as we were done praying, I just felt in my spirit that God was going to do something wonderful for him. And I said, oh my goodness, God just showed me he's going to do something wonderful for you. I'm so excited for you. And he's like, yeah, right. You know, he's probably telling his wife on the way home, we need to find a different church. But a week later, he got a hold of me and said, you'll never believe what happened. I went, I had the MRI done. There was nothing there. My headaches are gone. And I said, great, praise God. And he said, oh, no, there's more. He said, my stepdad was worried about me. And he got up in the morning. He got on his knees to pray for my healing. But when he did so, he realized that he had never really received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So before he prayed for me, he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then he got saved and then he prayed for me. So you never know what God's going to do. You just never know. How about faith for miracles? Matthew 21 through 22, Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Years ago, there was a guy named George Mueller who wanted to see God moving in miraculous ways. So he had an idea. He was going to start an orphanage on faith. And so he started praying for provisions for this orphanage. And, you know, God was providing. And this one day, I guess the staff came to him and said, hey, we don't have any food for breakfast. He said, don't worry about it. Just have the kids sit down. And so he went, sat at the head of the table, and they bowed their heads and said, let's ask God to bless the food we're about to receive. And there's nothing on the table. And they bowed their heads to pray. And I guess at some point in the prayer, they're interrupted because the milk cart, the wheel came off of it in front of their building. And the guy selling milk said, hey, can I give this to you? Because by the time I get the wagon wheel fixed, the milk's going to be spoiled. So they had milk. And then somebody else showed up with bread. And before you know it, the kids are having a full breakfast. You know, a couple years ago, me, another pastor, and a businessman got together, and we started Men's Challenge. We really didn't know what we were doing. And I remember Gil Goodwin was the other pastor, and he prayed that God would do something so big that it couldn't have been done by man. It had to have been a thing of God. And I'll tell you something. We just expanded in January to Canton because 28% of our guys were coming from Canton. And I'll tell you, folks, it's going like gangbusters. And, you know, almost 80% of the guys that graduate our program get jobs. And that's an incredible statistic. We actually had a foundation, a big foundation in Canton, come to us and ask if they could give us money. Well, let me think about that. Yeah, I guess you can. But I mean, it is an amazing thing. And, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing at the time when we started it. Well, we just stepped out in faith. And I appreciate this church's support, your prayer support, your financial support, and your love as we did this. Because really, it's not about jobs. Really, it's just an excuse to get people together so we could pray for them and see them get, you know, receive Christ. By my numbers, I stopped counting at 60. Somebody told me the other day it's 100 people have prayed to receive Christ through the Ministry of Men's Challenge. To me, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And I praise God for that. One last area I want to talk about. And I want to apologize to Bill because I didn't bring this up when that word came forward about the broken pottery and stuff. But I really felt I needed to unpack this. When I got up here to do the opening prayer for the service, it was just like the Spirit of God hit me with this concept of His heart toward those who had been walking in the faith at one time, but for whatever reason, I hate to use the word backslid, but for whatever reason, are not serving God right now. For whatever reason. And you're in good company. Because the Apostle Peter, Jesus talked to him one time and he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat." Now listen to these next words. "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Could you imagine Jesus talking to him saying, "Hey, you know what? I know you're going to fail, but when you get up again, I want you to strengthen your brothers because they're going to need you." You hear what I'm saying here today? You know, the scripture talks about that a righteous man falls seven times and rise up again. And you know, it's funny, at the YMCA this week, I mentioned the word success, and somebody said, "You know what success is? It's getting up to fall down again." You know? And I want some of you to do something bold. If you've ever backslidden from the Lord and returned and are now serving God, I want you to be bold and stand up right now. Look around. If you're in that condition where you're backslid right now, I want you to look around and realize you're in good company. You are in good company. Go ahead and sit down. I just really feel that the heart of God, you know, everything else I said is good, but I really think the biggest thing that God wants to share for you today is some of you need to get up out of that boat today and leave that backslidden condition, whatever it is, where you're not serving God as you know you ought to. Take that step of faith and start walking on the water to Jesus. Because he really, really wants you. I'll tell you, I had to hold back when the Spirit of God hit me because I was going to burst out in tears and I was just about to welcome everybody with a nice smile on my face. So I had to kind of quench the spirit there. But I mean, I just felt an overwhelming compassion that God has for you that are in that position. That he loves you, that he's willing to leave the 99 for the one sheep that has gone astray. And if that's you today, don't leave this room today without getting that dealt with in your heart before the Lord. He wants so much to have that relationship with you again. He wants so much to have that closeness with you again. So if you've fallen, get back up again. Get back up again. You know, there's other areas I could talk about. Bill's talked earlier about stretching yourself in spiritual gifts. You can stretch yourself out in sharing faith. But the bottom line for you today, every one of you, is, are you ready to get out of the boat? Are you ready to get out of the boat today and walk on the water with Jesus? Whatever that area may be. I don't know what area struck you today. But are you ready to get out of the boat and walk on the water? Let me leave you with this one final thought. Jesus wasn't the only one who walked on water. You ever think about that? Somebody else walked on water too. Peter. Amen? Amen. Stand with me if you will. I want to pray God's blessing on every one of you. I want to encourage anyone that wants to exercise their faith in prayer for healing or rededication to the Lord or whatever. Go ahead.
Jan's got an exhortation concerning Paul's word.
For those that have felt like they failed, they've fallen. Peter fell in that water, but Jesus' hand was outreached to
Amen.
Him. His hand is outreached to you, And he wants to lift you back up. Just wanted to encourage you with that.
Very good. All right, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this, your people that are here today, Lord God. I believe that everyone that's in this room today, it's not an accident, that you put them in this room for a reason, Lord God. And Lord, you desire every one of us to step it up in some area, Lord God. I just pray that we would follow through, that these words would not just fall and not return to have its impact in our lives, Lord God. I just pray for, especially for those that maybe have been backslidden, that maybe haven't been serving you as they ought, that they would take that step of faith and return now to you. Lord, I just thank you for this congregation. I thank you that this is such a great group of people. Lord God, I wouldn't want to be in any other church than this one, Lord God. I thank you so much that you placed me in this body. And I pray you bless each individual here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Take some time to share your love with one another.